Blog Talk Radio.
Hit him with a little ghetto cop. Those who wish to follow me. My ghetto cop, I welcome with my hand. And the red sun sings glad into the hills of gold. And peace with this young warrior.
This is the Reverend Dr. Maurice Cawthon, coming to you live today, July 13, 2010, from the battlegrounds. Today's show will be about a new beginning in the life of Christ. Thursday, I should finally have my surgery, if God willing. It has been postponed because my job put me on medical leave, then canceled my insurance, but the Lord is going to work all that out. The devil is a liar, and I rebuke him and I tell him to leave me alone today. God has a plan for me, and he will not stop the works of God. Not in my life, not today. Today I want to pray for my cousin, LaRon Whitaker. He's going through some troublesome times right now. Lord, I come to you today asking you to give guidance and understanding to him, to bring his heart closer to you. I pray to you, Father, to keep him in your arms as he and his family is going through some struggles of life. You said you will not give us too much that we could not handle. Lord, help him to find a job so that he can continue to support his family. Lord, give him the strength to keep moving forward. Lord, protect his family, fix their health so they can perform up to your standards. Nurture them back to great health. Open their minds up and show them the way. Keep them safe in your arms, Father. Cover them with the blood of Jesus from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. In Jesus' almighty name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Today I'm going to start by reading the 23rd Psalms because it's a good Psalms for this show, New Beginning. Everybody could turn to the 23rd Psalms in their Bibles. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. How many of us would like to have a new beginning today? That's the big question. That's the main topic. We often dream about how we would do things differently. If we had life to live over, we would want to make some crucial changes in hopes of a different life or a new beginning. As a matter of fact, this only happens in our dreams. Although it is impossible to live life over, you can have a new beginning. That's the slogan of my ministry, too. New start, new hope, new beginning, new life. A new beginning is our only hope, for life moves forward even when we look backwards. It is not what has happened to us in the past or in the present today, but what is about to happen to us in the future that is important. As the book of Acts opens, we find Jesus ministering to his disciples. He is helping them cope with their misunderstanding, their failures, and their desertion. His post-resurrection ministry is for the sole purpose of giving them a new beginning. And he is in the process of moving these weak, self-centered, and disheartened disciples into becoming a new breed of believers. So he spends 40 days encouraging them, teaching them, and commissioning them. He is dependent upon them to turn the world upside down with the message of salvation. Too often when I study the book of Acts, I only see the results. I lose sight of what is taking place. I see the results of the Spirit's coming. I see the results of Peter's sermon. I see 3,000 are baptized. I see the Lord adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Yet, too often, I fail to realize what made possible the power of the Holy Spirit and the earth-shattering response by those who heard it. Let us look at the basic steps they took to have this powerful new beginning. Hopefully, we will find the clues to a new beginning for our own lives. The main thing is trusting in God's plan. A new beginning is discovered as we trust the plan of God. It is not always easy to follow God's plan. At times, our lack of understanding and unanswered questions holds us back. The fear of not knowing how God is going to work things out holds us back. At these crucial times, we must have faith in God's plan. Acts 1, 6 through 8, it states, "So when they meet together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judah and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" Jesus never told them when or how God would accomplish his purpose. He simply says, "You must go to Jerusalem." I am sure this plan wasn't all that exciting. Jerusalem was the place where Jesus was crucified, and the people were hostile to the disciples. Remember how they were careful to lock the door when they gathered together in a room in Jerusalem. They were afraid of the people of Jerusalem and wanted to go back to Galilee. But Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. Why? Because he wanted them to witness there. So they followed God's plan. Jesus also told his disciples they must witness in Judea and Samaria. Now, that was another problem. Why? It was a problem because Jews despised Samaritans. They called them half-breeds. Not only that, Jesus said his disciples must take the gospel to the end of the earth. This meant beyond the nation of Israel. This was really a problem for the Jewish disciples who was called Gentile dogs. The 11 disciples standing there on Mount of Olives didn't have a backup plan. There was only one plan. It was absolutely essential that it be followed. It is no wonder that they were asked, "Why are you standing here gazing up into the heavens?" God's plan needed to be put into action. Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just stand there. The first century disciples experienced renewal upon following God's plan. You can't go wrong if you seek to build your life upon his plans. It is his plans that gives us a solid foundation upon which to build our lives. Throughout Acts chapter 1, we see the disciples seeking to follow God's plan. They returned to Jerusalem according to Jesus' instructions. Upon their return, they seek to further carry out God's plan as they seek to appoint someone to take Judah's place. Acts 1, 20 through 26, it says, "For," said Peter, "it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection.' So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed, 'Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry,' which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles." Nothing happens by chance. It is crucial for us to believe that God has a plan and it will succeed. They could look back to the resurrection, to his ascension into heaven, to be at the right hand of God. They see the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. Now their faith can sustain them as they wait for the next act of God. Paul found new direction from God by getting in tune with God's plan when he received the Macedonian call. Acts 16:6-10, we hear about Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen that vision, we got ready at once to leave Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Acts 16:12-15, it states, "From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there for several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. 'If you consider me a believer in the Lord,' she said, 'come and stay at my house,' and she persuaded them. If we follow God's plan, he can enable us to fulfill his plans according to his timetable." First century Christians got in tune with God's plan. We are not discovering renewal. Maybe it is time to evaluate our plan in the light of God's plan. Maybe that brick wall God has put in our way is trying to tell us something. When we are just spinning our wheels, maybe we need to reevaluate our strategies. We need to trust in God's timing. Listen to the last words spoken to the apostles by Jesus in answers to a question. "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judah and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." These verses are perplexing. Jesus held a 40-day seminar after his resurrection to teach them about the kingdom. Why do they still have questions? Jesus simply said, "It is not for you to know the time or dates." For most of us, that answer isn't sufficient. We don't like piecemeal revelation, but it is God's way of not burdening us with the burdens of tomorrow. See, God won't put too much on us at one time. He will give us just what we need according to his plan. If they had known what God was about to do, they would have broken their necks trying to force it to happen according to their own plans. That was a burden that only God could bear. It was up to God to make it happen at his timing and his decisions. Jesus simply says, "Wait in Jerusalem until God empowers you from on high." How long would they have to wait? How would God make it happen? What would be required of them? They were simply told to wait in Jerusalem. For many, waiting is a terrible thing. I remember in my military years, we was always in a hurry to get where we were going. Usually when we got there, we always had to stand around and wait. We always called it a game of hurry up and wait. Most of us are not very good at waiting. We don't even like waiting in a fast food restaurant line. To most of us, time is of the essence. Yet, we still have no special place to be. Waiting upon God is much different, and I'm going to tell you that today. With God, a day can be like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. We may begin to think that the Lord is slacking his promises. You can see it in 2 Peter 3:8-11. The event which was about to take place in Jerusalem, had been planned in the mind of God before the world was created. The faithful of Israel had been waiting for thousands of years. Here in Acts, the faithful are still waiting for God to manifest himself. Sometimes it is like this when we seek personal growth. We think that it will never come. It takes a lifetime. It will come at the timing of God according to his plans. Power comes to those who wait upon God's timing. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. Psalms 130:5. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Psalms 37:9. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. Psalms 37:34. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Psalms 27:14. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. Psalms 104:27. The reason soldiers spend so much time hurrying up and waiting is because the generals have an overall battle plan that must be put in place. Assembling the forces to carry out the battle requires time. Each squadron or platoon must be put in its proper place before the overall battle plan will be effective. But when everything is in place, you move out. You may not know when you are moving out, but you trust those in charge. They didn't know exactly when or how God would put his plan into action, but they waited upon God to put his battle plan into action. God is waiting for Jews from every nation under heaven to gather on Pentecost. He is going to make his announcement at the proper time, according to his plan. We can only wonder how much easier would it have been to wait in Jerusalem if they understood. God had planned for them to be in that upper room before the world was created. It was foretold by Isaiah 2:1-5. The details of what was happening in that room was planned long before any of them had set foot on earth. How much easier would this make our waiting upon God? Of course, concepts like this we only debate. We seldom enjoy the reality of it all. God knows what my tomorrow holds in store for me. He is already there working out the details in my life. He knows what tomorrow holds in store for you. He knows the details of your life for tomorrow. Renewal comes when we begin to live in the reality of it all. Again, the psalmist writes, "Oh, my strength, I watch for you. You, oh God, are my fortress." Psalms 59:9. Trusting in God through prayer is the main important thing. What do you do while you are waiting upon God? The time we spend in waiting upon the Lord is meant to be active times, not passive times. It is a time where we work at what is at hand rather than which is to come. When a soldier is waiting on the final order to end a battle, the soldier spends his or her time making sure that the weapons and machinery are in working order. They spend their time in immediate preparation. So it was with the disciples. They returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. You can find in Acts 1:12-14. After the ascension of Jesus Christ, prayer is the very first thing the disciples engaged in. And that three-quarter of a mile walk back to Jerusalem, they began to realize they would need God's help. God's plan has brought them to center stage. Now they all join together constantly in prayer. Here's a powerful message from a search-seeking renewal. One version says they made prayers and supplication. They were asking God to supply their needs. They were relying upon God's power to fulfill God's plan. I can only wonder if the doors of that church still locked. You can have a drawer full of blueprints. They may be great blueprints, but they are powerless to make anything happen. It takes more than a blueprint to make something happen. They had the blueprint of God's kingdom. Jesus had been teaching them all about his kingdom during that 40-day period. They knew they had to be in Jerusalem. They knew that they had to pick someone to take Judas' place. They knew that they would have to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. They knew all about water baptism. They knew that one must obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. They knew all they needed to know at the present about the nature of the church. They were greatly anticipating how God was about to use them. But they also understood that God's blueprint would be powerless without prayer. Prayer was an important part of Jesus' life. We find him praying through all the blood, sweat, and tears. Prayer made his ultimate sacrifice dying on a cross possible. It was Jesus' prayers and his last hours on earth that makes the work of the disciples possible. Jesus had prayed that the world might believe on him through the words of the disciples. John 17:20. In Acts, we see these prayers being answered. Then he prayed, Father, let this cup pass, but more importantly, let your will be done. Prayer seeking God's will to be done in our lives are always powerful and prevailing. Jesus discovered this power in prayer while others were sleeping. Prayer gives us a new lease on life by directing our focus on fulfilling God's plan for our lives. Although we have no record of Jesus' disciples praying before Acts 1, we do know that Jesus taught them to pray. We are certainly not told the content of the prayer, but we can safely assume their prayers were directed toward the fulfillment of God's plan for this new beginning. Immediately when Peter arises from prayer, he says the scripture must be fulfilled concerning Judas. They must choose someone to take Judas' place. They understand that it was God's plan. It is hard for me to imagine them focusing on Judas' failure without being acutely aware of their own failure in the last hours of Jesus' life. As they come to God's throne in prayer, they are no doubt concerned about finding the power and the wisdom through prayer to do what God asked them in this new age. They have learned from experience that they cannot run headlong in their own strength. Even though they have the blueprint for selecting someone to take Judas' place, they do it with a total reliance upon God. They cast the lots for God's approval. They confess their inability to choose the man with the best heart. They go as far as the blueprint will take them. Then they put their success in the hands of God. The Bible says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The disciples sought greatness all through Jesus' earthly ministry. Now they find themselves on center stage. I can only wonder, could the disciples identify with the lines I'm about to read? They may define how they felt. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for the health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for but everything I hoped for. In spite of myself, my prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Breaking free from self is not difficult. It's impossible for Christians to do so without God's leading. Trusting in God's plan, trusting in God's timing, and trusting in God through prayer are only possible when we know that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. It is only then that we can experience spiritual renewal. There are better things ahead of us than anything we leave behind. I pray that out of his glory riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his spirit and your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how deep and high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, knowledge that you may be fulfilled to measure of all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. You can read it some more. Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you follow his instructions, he will make your life more meaningful than you can ever imagine. It won't be easy. In fact, it'll be a very tough journey. But there's a long line of godly soldiers up ahead of you who wouldn't trade their battle scars for anything. We are talking about a life of honor, a life of faith, and a life of courage. We are talking about the highest calling known to man, the call to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's get started and see what God suspects of you. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. What? He wants you to know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not on your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which is God's. Technically, God expects nothing of you as a Christian. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. He said nothing. A branch is no good without the vine. A branch by itself will die and become useless. God expects all believers to deny themselves and acknowledge their need to allow Jesus Christ to work through them. Just as a vine produces fruit through its branches, by simply obeying God's word, a Christian serves God and glorifies him. Jesus said, I do all those things that please him. Talking about God, reading in John 8:29, every Christian is supposed to be a full-time servant. Our Christian duty is to follow Jesus and please our Heavenly Father. God's word gives us all the instructions we need to live a Christ-honoring life and to lay up great treasures in heaven. Jesus said, man ought always to pray and not to faint. God speaks to us through the Bible reading, but we speak to him through prayer. Every Christian needs a special time each day, perhaps more than once a day, when he gets alone with God in prayer. Mark 1:35 say, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus realized the need to pull away for a while and get alone with his Father in prayer. In our fast-paced society today, this is sometimes hard, but it is very necessary and well worth the effort. If you really trust in God for your daily needs and the needs of others, then you will naturally go to him in prayer to make your request known. When a child is really dependent on his father to do something for him, he won't quit talking to him about it until it's done. God expects us to come to him on a regular basis to simply empty ourselves by laying all our wants and needs in his hands. Paul said, pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Prayer is to be continual because our relationship with God is continual. Many Christians wait until they become loaded down with sins and many burdens before they pray, but this isn't God's will. God commands us to pray always, so we'll never become overloaded with problems. He wants us to carry a light load. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Go check it out in Matthew 11:30. The subjects of prayer are many. Thanksgiving is an important part of prayer. Mark 8:6, John 6:11, 1 Timothy 4-5. We are told to pray for forgiveness in 1 John 1:9. For personal needs in Matthew 6:9-13. For wisdom, we are told to remember others in prayer, to remember our government leaders, and to pray for our pastors, our churches, and our ministries. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Everyone needs to take time out each day for such physical needs as bathing, eating, and sleeping. Likewise, every Christian needs a special time each day for Bible reading and prayer. bitterness in your heart can hinder your walk with God. We are to love everyone, even our enemies. Matthew 5:44. Don't forget, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. It is not our responsibility to take revenge on anybody. God judges rightly, and he will handle any wrongs perpetrated against us. We are his children. In Christ, we have a new beginning. As Paul affirmed in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. And as Jesus himself affirmed from heaven in Revelation 21:5-7, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, right, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. Beginning at peace with God is not automatic, because you by nature are separated from God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Your decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior will be the wisest choice you ever made. One of the first things you will notice when you become a Christian is the change in your nature in response to your repentance for sin and commitment to follow Jesus Christ. The Lord has forgiven your sins and made you clean and innocent toward God. Jeremiah 31:34 says, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least if them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Did you hear what I just said? For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. 1 John 1:7-9 says, but if we walk in the light and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus called his experience being born again. He said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. As a new creature in Christ, you will be a different kind of person than you were before. Stop and think about what this means. You are starting life over again today. Today, you are a new creature in Christ, and the old things are passed away. What about your old sins? Are they really forgiven? The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Jeremiah 31:34, I will remember your sins no more. Once you ask Jesus in your heart, your sins are washed away. And God's eyes, you are justified, which means you stand before God, just as if it never, as if you never sinned. You have to pray. You have to commit your life to Christ. What does the Bible say happen? You are saved. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door, and if any man enters through me, he shall be saved. Romans 10:9-10, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confessed, resulting in salvation. You are a child of God. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to give them, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You have eternal life through God. John 3:16 say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now you are a new creature in Christ. You must develop, you must grow and mature so that you can produce and be a productive member of God's family. God is calling on you. God wants you to be a part of his family. He wants you to become his child. To have a new beginning, there are some things you need to do. These are the steps for that new beginning. You need to admit your spiritual need. You need to say to him, I am a sinner. You need to repent and be willing to turn from your sin. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on that cross. You need to receive through prayer Jesus Christ in your heart and your life. As I go into prayer today, and if you would want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, pray along with me. Open your hearts with purity, admit your sins, and confess with your mouth that he is our Lord and Savior. Let him know that you are ready to become one of his soldiers, and you are ready to open up your heart to him. Only you can do this. I can't do it for you. I can only guide you there. I cannot force you. I can't drag you down to the altar. I can't drag you to your knees and ask you to ask Jesus for forgiveness. It got to come from you. It got to come from your heart. It got to be pure. Let's pray. Lord, you have endured me all these years with my sins, but nonetheless, you've pitied me. I was led astray in every way, but now I will sin no more. I have wronged you, and I have been unjust. I will be so no more. I renounce sin today. I renounce the devil today. I renounce iniquity that stains my soul, Father. Free my soul from all that is against your holiness. I entreat you, Lord, to rescue me from all evil. Come, Jesus, now. Come now and abide in my heart. Forgive me, Lord, and allow me to rest in you. For you are my shield, my redeemer, and my light, and in you do I trust. From today I will bless you, Lord, at all times. I repute the evil and the devil and all other gods and idols. For you are the most high over the world, far transcending all other gods. By your mighty arm, rescue me from ill health. Rescue me from being a captive. Rescue me from trouble and defeat my enemy, the devil. Come quickly to my help, O Savior. Father, we thank you for your promise and gift of making all things new for us who believe. Help us to fully understand that each and every one of us have a new beginning in your Son, that we, the faithful, may come into your presence and worship and adore you forever and ever, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for cleansing my life and making me a new creature. My sins are forgiven and forgotten. I thank you, Lord. Help me, Lord, to forget them too. Thank you for saving me, Father. Thank you for letting me into your kingdom. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross that our sins may be forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for accepting me as I am and allowing me to become your child again. In Jesus' almighty name, I ask of thee. And Father God, I ask you, let your will be done. Amen, amen, and amen. Next week's show will be on blessings. We're going to see what all blessings, how they affect us in our daily life. That'll be next week's show. I'm getting ready to go to callers. Patricia, you're on air. Hello? Patricia, you're on air.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello? How are you doing?
Good.
How are you feeling today?
Good.
May I ask, who is this?
My name is Isaiah Morelli.
How are you doing, Isaiah?
Good.
How are you feeling today?
Good.
You listening to the show?
Yes.
How did you like the show today?
It was great. I really liked it. And I can't really remember. He's quoted, like, you know.
All right. I really appreciate you calling in. I see that I'm touching children around the world. That's a great thing that parents are letting their kids listen in. That's one of the great things for us as parents. You know, we got to be the ones to lead our children to Christ. We got to do the footwork for them. We got to get on our hands and knees. We got to pray for them. We got to do everything that we can do. All right, I'm going to go to another caller.
Hey, I think that show was good, and God makes me feel great. Every time I hear his name, it's like ecstatic.
That's a good thing. What's your name?
Jordan.
Ah, this is what happened to be my son calling all the way from Oklahoma, huh?
Yes.
That's a good thing, son. Alexis listens to the show. It's good to hear you call in. It's good to show your support. It's good that I'm trying to reach out to the younger generation. That's a great thing, and I really appreciate that the younger generation is really listening. All right, I'm going to go to another caller. 347-652-7750. You're on the air. Hello,
Hello?
You're on the air. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I like this. As we go on every day, I thank God, you know, that I'm alive for waking up, even coming to your show, hearing you more and more, cuzzo. It's just inspiring me more and more to keep listening. I ain't going to even lie. I need to get right with God, too, honey, because life is too short. You know, and I ain't
feeling nobody. And that's the thing that a lot of us don't understand, especially with the younger generation. We always think that we have tomorrow. Tomorrow is never promised to us. We need to get right, and we need to get right today. You know, it may take time for some of us, but that time may end. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right. You're right, and I keep having my Bible next to me every night, and I never go, and it's sad, you know, and I'm asking God today just to rebuke me in the name of Jesus. If I got to start over and get right, repent, that's what I got to do. He'd rather for me to be real than come, you know, because only God really know what I'm going to do anyway, so nobody else can judge me, you know, and I love you, and I'm definitely going to listen on next week to the next show, and I'll speak to you when we get off this line.
Thanks for calling in. Thanks for showing support. I really appreciate it.
All right, baby. Thank you.
Everybody listening up today, you know, some people think you got to go to church to repent. You got to be baptized. You can get down on your hands and knees wherever you at across the world. Go to the God in your heart with purity Tell the Father you want to repent. You want to be forgiven for your sins. And it will be done. You don't have to be in front of an altar to ask for forgiveness for your sins. Go to him in prayer, and his will be done. I will be having surgery in 2 days, hopefully God willing. I would like for everybody to pray for me. But I will be back next week with another show, blessings, because the Lord already told me it's going to be okay. So you'll hear from me next week after the surgery. I'm going to be up speaking his word because nothing going to hold me down. The devil ain't going to hold me down from speaking my Father's word. I'll see you next week. This is the Reverend Dr. Maurice Carthon coming to you live from the battlegrounds.
Hit him with a little ghetto cop. Don't you wish to follow me? My ghetto cop, I welcome with my hand.